Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. With the name of God, Allah, the merciful benefactor, that is the merciful one that gives us benefits. The merciful redeemer, the merciful one that redeems us, renews us. Today is March 2nd, 2021, Ramadan, could be 18 or 19, could be 20, depending upon which day you started, the year 42 on the Hijra calendar. You're listening to Michael Sahir, your host on Words Made People. We'll be right back with our program after our opening theme song titled Words Made People, sung by our beloved and belated sister, Khadija Abdullah. We'll be right back. Tell a friend. Welcome back to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, from Indianapolis, with my co-host from the West Coast, Imam Ayman Abdul-Majid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Ramadan Mubarak to you, my dear brother, and all the radio listening audience.
Alhamdulillah, Ramadan Mubarak to you,
yes,
and
sir,
to everyone. We're here in two, I think this is our 19th day or 20th day. I think it's the 19th day.
19th.
Do you know?
The 19th.
Those who began on that, we began that Wednesday, the 14th, the morning of the 14th of April. Some began on the 13th. So for them, it would be
20th. Their 20th.
The 20th day, but for us, the 19th day. And I think, and I'm so glad that Muslims have pretty much grown beyond the point of arguing over who's right and who's wrong. And we've grown to the point to say, to where we say, Allahu Allah, Allah knows best, God knows best, and leave it right there. And do the best to fast, do your best to fast, to serve your Lord, who created you, and pray that our fast be accepted. That's the best that we can really do.
That's right.
Today we're going to have a guest on from the East Coast. I'm looking for his number now. Email yourself Ramadan. But while we're waiting for him to come on, we're going to do our reading. That's our tradition on words make people. The best words for making people of the words of Revelation, and we will further extend that argument to say the best containment of the best book of Revelation is the Holy Quran, or we say El Quran. That is the best of Revelation. It's never been in the law sign department, Brother Emile. The Quran's never been, I remember in high school, that I made a whole lot of visits to the Lost and Found Department and say, hey, did someone turn in my book? Did someone turn in whatever? But the Quran, praise to Allah, has never been subjected to that, to where man had to go out with shovels and dig and try and find out what did the Quran say. Now, you go talk to any believer. And times you should talk to a youth, 10 years old, got the whole Quran right there in their heart. The Quran has never been outside. Once it's revealed to the prophet, it's always been in the memory of human beings. That's a beautiful blessing. That's a beautiful blessing.
Sir.
And we have to be very mindful of that, because the one of the strong connections with Ramadan is the Quran, right? We read the whole Quran for a reason.
Yeah.
And the reason being because this is the month in which Prophet Muhammad, the present peace be upon him, receives the first five ayahs of the Quran. So, alhamdulillah. So let us read, we're going to go with just the first four verses of Surah 10. So maybe the first six, I don't know, because it all ties in together so well. So before reading the Quran, the book is so special and so precious that the first thing that we do in reading the Quran that we seek God's protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. And we say in Arabic, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." And then next, before reading the Quran, unless you're reading chapter number 9, when you're reading chapter 9, you do not say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. But we do say that before reading in the other chapter of the Quran. So, alhamdulillah, we read here in Surah 10, it begins by saying, Watini wa Zaytun. Watini wa Zaytun. That's the first ayah, Brother Yamil. Watini wa zaytun. Allah is bringing our attention to two products or two forms of produce that are grown as a plant, the fig plant and the olive plant. Watini wa zaytun. Then Nike gives us two locations, right?
Yes.
What children see me, right? The Mount Sinai, and what have you, Belit Delamine. So we're given two plants, we're given two locations. But Allah is using these four examples to give us insights on important qualities of the human being. Very important qualities of the human being. These four. Watini, watzeitun, watodering sinini, vahadat belit dilami. So then the next verse, verse 4, then it says, leket kalakna insanati astini takwin. So these four ideals, these four principles are speaking of important aspects or qualities of every human being that is made. Watini the fig. What is a fig? A fig is a fruit that has a lot of small seeds in it. The zaytun or the olive is a plant. It has one seed in it. But if you study how these two figures, these two plants, are used throughout not just the Quran, but through other revelations, it will give us insights as to what Allah is telling us about our own human makeup. I know you recall what you may have said about the fig, right? The fig has very many seeds, and you know, and we say when a seed is a symbolic of a idea or a concept. And so by the fig having a lot of little bitty seeds with no real structure, no real formality to them, even when you bite, if you go to the store and buy a fig boar, you see when you bite that fig boar, your teeth, you can feel those little bitty seeds inside. If a seed is a concept or an idea, then the fig is symbolic of the human being who's got all kind of ideas going through their head, just like little bee seeds all over the place.
Yeah.
And so Imam Mama told us, he said, that's how people will tell you when you're talking to them and it's not making any sense, you're all over the place like a little bee seeds. They say, that is a figment of your imagination.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So, but if Allah gave us that quality, then having imagination is okay.
Right.
It's okay. That's how people grow, how society grows, how knowledge grows. But the zaytun is one solid idea. It's one seed. And the zaytun produces a oil. And you read about how what the Quran speaks in Surah 24 about the olive oil, and how it gives off light even when it's not lit. So this right here, speaking of the attribute of the human being, of having solid ideals that give off light, knowledge, understanding. So the human being, we are both. We have the imaginative side, where we can be creative with imagination. Then we have the zaytun or the olive side of us, of solid, consistent ideas. But before we go further, I'd like to get your comments.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was beautiful. In your comments, and reflecting back on the fig, like you said, it represents many, many ideas. many, many ideas, many, many different thoughts and concepts. And, you know, the olive, you have that one seed in it. It represents focus. You have to kind of bring everything into a focus in life, so you can begin to make sense out of things. You see, it just won't be a figment of your imagination anymore. You know, which is good to think and have different thoughts. Don't get me wrong, but you can bring everything under one focus. That's where the jihad is. That's where the struggle is sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I reflect on doing a khutbah or a lecture or something, you know. A lot of times you have a lot of different ideas. You want to say where I want to go, what I want to say, well, you know. Then you have to focus, you know, of where you're trying to go with this and what you're trying to get across, so you can bring out what you're trying to bring out to yourself and to people, you know. And so that olive represents that focus, that oneness, tawheed, that focus, that we have to focus on that oneness, you know. And that is very, very, very important, you know. And you know, Mount Sinai, you know, the Moses receiving revelation. And I think about the revelation as being structured law, you know, a structured type of life. You know, to bring us to a high elevation in life, you have to have structure, you know. And you know, that's what I see also with Tori Sinin, you know, Mount Sinai representing that structure, that law that we need in our lives to keep us, you know, in the right focus, you know, like you know, trying to like a barrier, you know, to kind of keep us there so we won't transgress beyond bounds, you know, and go astray. And then Baladil Amin, I don't know if you gotten to that part yet, Baladil Amin? Did you discuss that?
Yes.
Did you want to?
As you take us, we're getting there. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. So, you know, that first of all, the figment of imagination, the figment of imagination, having these many different ideas, and then bringing everything under one focus, then having some type of structure to it. Now we are ready to settle down and have that city of security, that city of peace. And I remember Imam Muhammad letting us know that when Muhammad the Prophet went on the ascension, the mirage, you know, and after he came from the mirage, you know, and saw the governmental structure in order in Jerusalem, in, you know, the ruins of Solomon, the Temple of Solomon, and what the children of Israel had done back in those days. He said he was ready to settle down in Medina and bring us into that governmental order, that or that structure, or that community life that all of us, you know, need to establish. You know, the Jews have their community life, the Christians have their community life, and we have ours. You know,
right.
You know.
Right.
And Allah blessed Muhammad the Prophet as our leader to establish that for us in Medina as a model so we could live by it. Yeah, so I think it's all important, you know. It's very, very important that we understand these steps. These are steps that we take to try to get to our destiny, our human destiny.
Right. Now, you know, Imam Muhammad on the fig. For those who have the book, the commentary on the Quran, I don't know, okay, to get a guest in, you know, Yusuf Ramadan from Queens. But on page 480, we will not do it now. But Imam Muhammad, he explains a connection with what it means when Jesus said he cursed the fig tree.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
That's important for us to understand.
Gotcha.
Now, here he's not just saying fig. He's saying the fig tree. So the tree is brought into it, not just one single fig.
Yes.
You said the tree is symbolic of a society of people. So for those, maybe we could come back to that. I do want to honor and respect the time of our guest, but Imam Yusuf Ramadan. You know, bring him on at this time. This is our beloved hardworking Imam in Queens, New York. I met him years and years ago. Brother Imam Yusuf Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum. Is your phone on mute?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa Ramadan Mubarak to you and all your listeners.
Yeah, yes, sir. Ramadan Mubarak to you as well. We are here, my co-host, Imam Ayman Abdul Majid from Los Angeles. So we got the whole country covered now. I'm in the middle. You got the east.
Hello.
You got the west.
Hello,
yeah, like the Imam S is talking about the coming of the Son of Man. Yes, the light shining.
That's right.
Even
down the west. Yeah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Well, I was appreciating the extra exegesis that I was listening to for the last
add
few minutes.
Thing. Yes, sir. Feel free to add, if you want to. I said, feel free to add commentary to that reading if you like.
Well, you know, the excellent part about it, and I was just reading that surah, teen, you know, and as I was listening, I was thinking about that, you know, those ayat, lakad kalakal al-insana fi asri taqwim, thumara dadnu asra safini. Verily, we created man, al-insan, in the best of forms.
The
best? In proportion of his shape. Thumma, then, radadnahu, we reduce him or return him to the lowest of the low. So we have the capacity as human beings to attain to that level that we Allah told the angels to make sajda to Adam. We have that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
That we can live up to that
yes,
really
sir.
Our destiny, you know. And that is our natural form that Allah created the whole put the whole creation on, which is that pattern of Din al-Fitra. So one of the things that I've been emphasizing the last few weeks, the very very important point that Imam Muhammad made, may Allah forgive him his sins and grant him the highest place in the paradise. You know, Rahim al-Alay, he told us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known as El Amin, the trustworthy, and As-Sadiq, the truth, before he got the Quran, before the coming of the revelation. That's so important for us to digest. He didn't have to get the Quran. That was already in it. His nature was right. That's what merited him the Quran. His heart was right. And Allah said, we have revealed it upon his heart. You see, so what is that saying to us? That the nature of the human being is not a liar. The nature of the human
being is
not an untrustworthy, deceptive person. You see? So some of these our brothers and sisters who mean well, they've fallen into this understanding of robotics. You know, well, let me exhale, and what hadith should I read to figure out when I'm supposed to inhale? It's ridiculous. It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's innate. It's natural in you to inhale and exhale. You don't have to read it nowhere. So what brought you to the acceptance of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. You didn't know any Quran. You didn't know any Hadith. You didn't know any Arabic. But you heard something that struck a chord in you in your five senses that said, this is where I'm supposed to be. See, we miss that. We keep missing that. We think we have to, you know, every time you make a point, well, where is that at? What's your Dalil? Well, where is it in the Hadith? Well, where is it? Brother. This is why they get so hung up on, is music haram? Is it allowed? This and that. Look, if you have to read it somewhere, you already lost.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever heard Miles Davis, Kind of Blue, if you ever heard Charlie Parker, if you ever heard Aretha Franklin saying, I ain't never loved a man, and you need to go read somewhere whether it's halal or haram, you in trouble. There's something wrong with you. you're out of touch with your Adamic nature. Because the truth has a ring to it, the ring of truth. You see? So if you, I've heard, and brothers were telling me, not from our association, but online telling me that the music is from the Shaitan. So after they got to the point where they couldn't really defend it, they said, well, the human voice is okay, but not with instruments, no instruments. Mm-hmm. So I said, so you finally agreed. Now we're just discussing whether what type of music is halal, right? So you've given up that argument that it's haram, because you listen to the Adan, and they have Adan, they have contests all over the world.
Right.
I've been in Muslim countries where they have contests to see who can recite the Adan, you know, more beautifully, and it bring you to tears. You hear it sound so beautiful, it bring you to tears. I'm not joking. So
you know,
if you accept the palpitations of the heart, the rhythm of your heart, and your pulse, if you accept those things, then you know that it's natural. It's only natural. You see? So, you know, at some point you have to get to the point where certain people are not there, and you just have to leave them where they are. Like the Christians, the Christian brothers and sisters say, you have to meet people where they are.
That's right. And let me add, I want to add to that what you were reading from the Quran about the Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, the lowest of the low. And then, because someone may ask the question, well, why would Allah bring someone to the lowest of the low? Well, it doesn't say that. But if we are not mindful and protective of being made fiyasini taqwin, which means being made natural and balanced, then the Shaitan would come in. Because the verse that come after Asafala Safalim, it says what? It says, Illaladina I am anu and Wamulu Salihat, except for those who have faith. Meaning, if those who have faith, and not just faith alone, but the faith is supported by Salihin, righteous deeds, then such people will not become the stuff of Allah Safalim. They will
adding to that idea, Brother Bam. You know, there were people online, and some of them were therapists, African-American therapists. They were trying to convince me that our children don't owe us nothing, that we only owe them, that they don't even owe us respect, that we have to earn respect.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't owe you nothing. I felt like Bruce Lee fighting 30 people at one time. All of them was coming after me. And they said,
mm-hmm.
They didn't have to be brought here. They didn't have to be brought here. You brought them here. What are you going to give them? So I tried to give them a little list. I said, well, love, you know, food, shelter, mm-hmm. clothing, sacrifice my time and energy, you know. And I would hope, if you understand the human being, that when the mother is feeding the baby, breastfeeding the baby, she is giving them much more than just milk. She's given him the warmth of her body. She's transmitting her love just through the touch. They've shown
mm-hmm.
that human beings that
mm-hmm.
that lack human touch, they don't develop properly, right? So
mm-hmm.
so you mean to tell
right.
me? So we teach our grandson, you know, we teach our grandson, I want some water. No, may I have some water, please? May I have some water, please? Yes, you may. Here you are. What do you say?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So that has to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be natural in the human being. You mean to tell me, so I've heard people say, that's your obligation. Well, look, you were a fireman, right? And you came to work. They expected you to be there on time. They expected you to know what you're supposed to know. They expected you to do what you're supposed to do. Now, if you do that for a week, ain't nobody going to say nothing. But if you do that for 20 years, 25 years, they're going to say, wow, Sahir, he deserves an award. This man been putting in that kind of work over a long period of time. In other words, we don't have to worry about if he's going to be there. We don't have to worry about if he got our back. We don't. So they're trying to say just because you do that for your kids, they don't owe you no. So cause what they were talking about was the brother Ricky, not Ricky. What's the brother's name? The Kirk Franklin, the gospel singer. He was cussing his son out. His son was 30-something years old. His son was 30-something years old. Oh, he shouldn't talk to him like that. Whatever. So the sister said to me, whatever shortcomings your children have is because you dropped the ball. I said, well, you're using language, drop the ball. Well, what does drop the ball mean? Drop the ball mean you made a mistake. So so show me what parent didn't never make a mistake.
Definitely.
But whether I made a mistake or not, listen, I could. When I was a grown man, brother man, when I was a grown man, if I didn't talk to my mother a certain way, my mother would say to me, who are you talking to?
That's
I said,
right.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. You ain't talking to one of your little friends now. I'm talking about I was a grown man.
I mean, but the Quran tells us that. It says if one
don't
or both of your friends live to be an old age, don't say it makes a fee to them. So what the channel you were talking to? I hope that this panel was not a panel of Muslims, because the Quran tells me their children do owe you
something. But that's the problem. The problem is, and then some of the other people start joining in, you know, from other cultures, and they start joining in, and they trying to say, well, you know, I hope you don't. Now, I never told them that I have grown children. I hope you don't never have no children. I feel sorry for your children. That's why I don't speak to my mother to this day. That's why I don't even take her call, so and so. So this is what they don't have the guidance of the Quran to say. And whether Allah, look at Allah. Allah says, even if they tell you to deny me, still keep good company with them.
Right.
And never even say that. When I was young, I guess I'd be around maybe 12 or 13 years old. My mother was cussing me out, right? She was cussing me out. And I went upstairs, and she was downstairs. So I turned around, and I waved my hand, and I said, ah. And when I turned around, my father was standing there. And he said, don't you never disrespect your mother. And I said, but she didn't even hear me. He said, it don't matter. Now, he wasn't a Muslim. But look what he was teaching me then. He said, no matter whether she heard you or not, don't you never do that. And he was letting me know that's his wife. don't disrespect her. Before she was your mother, she was my wife. You wasn't going to disrespect daddy, not my daddy anyway.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. I tell you what, let us know what's going on in Queens, New York. Yeah, masjid.
So, you know, we're still trying to get back in our masjid. We had a fire, and it was a really devastating fire, and we've been really working to get back in there. So we did quite a bit of work in there, but we're having a major fundraiser on next Saturday, which is, I believe, is the 8th, right? The 8th. And it'll be on Facebook Live and also on the Zoom. We're going to bring you on and certain other people, you know, the speakers. We have Imam Siraj and Imam Talib, Imam Musa from Mount Vernon, Imam Abdul Aziz from the Bronx, Imam Adid from Brooklyn, and we have Imam Abu Qatar El-Amin from San Francisco, Imam Earl El-Amin from Baltimore, and we have quite a few sisters also coming on to, and yourself, inshallah, we look forward to making a short appeal and asking you to get us back in our masjid that we've been out of, you know, for some time. So we will make it available to you. And Brother Imam, I think I sent you the flyer, but we're going to send you the Zoom information.
Yes,
is also going to be on the Facebook Live.
You know, talk to us about, because I know it's a struggle. You know, we got Allah bless us last year to purchase a nice place of land. But along the way, believers, they give time, they give money, how did you keep up the spirit, the focus, and the drive?
Well, that was a great question. You know, I can only credit the mercy of Allah that the believers in Masjid Nuruddin saw our community as more than just a building. The togetherness, the spirit of the community. And this is not to say everybody stayed. We had those that the discontent that went off. But the over 90%, 95% of the believers at Masjid Nuruddin, they have gone anywhere. They're right here working with us. And we're grateful to them. They have a great spirit. You know, one of our brothers, Brother Yaqeen Bilal, he came out there with you. He was out there with you for a while, and he's back with us now.
Yes.
And we've been feeding. We've been a great brother. We've been feeding the community. And even though we're not in the masjid, we've been using the masjid to store different things and feeding the community, which most of that community is non-Muslim. But we're feeding humanity. We're not just asking people what faith group they belong to. We are feeding humanity, and because of the great food insecurity that we witnessed, especially during the height of the pandemic, I was stunned as I rolled down Northern Boulevard, which our masjid is on Northern Boulevard, and I saw the people lined up for blocks and blocks and blocks, and I was motivated. I was moved. I said, we have to do something. I saw men, women, children, infants out there in the rain lined up for food. And it really touched my heart. I said, there's no way in the world that we as a Muslim community can neglect to do our part. We just can't. We can't. We can't. And we started getting food, and more people get. We gave out food yesterday. We try to give out food at least one or two days a week at the masjid, and the people really come and tell us how much they appreciate it. And I will tell you, you know, you really, really will get great benefits, and you will be the one to be the real receiver when you serve humanity.
Brother Mal, you know, what you're saying is touching from this perspective, with many perspectives. But you all are using the building that's not even ready to be used, and you're being successful. I can only imagine what kind of activities you all may do when the building is restored.
Oh, yes. We were always open for the AA and NA and, you know, things of that nature. We welcomed into the Clara Muhammad School that we have there non-Muslims. They were going through such trauma in the public schools. I mean, you're talking about sexual harassment and sexual abuse and things of that nature. So we really miss having that space to do those things. We were able to bring in the drug dealers and clean them up and have them attend Juma. You know what I mean? Some of them took their shahada. Some of them didn't change. But,
You say drug users or drug dealers?
Both. We were able to bring them in. Yeah, because, you know, there was some of them were out there. One of them was the blood brother of one of the brothers in our community. And I told him, I said, brother, we don't want to see you out here no more. I'm not gonna keep giving you warnings. You don't let us catch you out here in this block, out here selling drugs. And so I sent the security out there, and the brother said, he told him, man, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that y'all here, because I've been telling these brothers, but they won't listen. He said, well, what the hell you doing here? he said, I'm out here. He said, I'm out here telling them, brother, that y'all ain't playing with them, brother. That's the only reason why I'm here telling them. So he never did, that particular brother never became a Muslim, but he became a Christian. And he kind of cleaned up his life and everything, you know, and I talked to him once in a while, you know, and he's doing pretty good, you know, he's doing pretty good.
Well, let me ask you, let me ask a couple questions. How can we support the effort? And give us a little bit of history of the masjid. Does it go back? I'm sure it does go back to the Nation of Islam days. And
yes, yes.
The name Masjid Nuruddin, 1960s?
Yeah, the early 60s, 1962, Malcolm Little, otherwise known as Malcolm X, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, he purchased, he was living down 87th Street over by the airport, and we got the local politician to rename the street after him. Unfortunately, that's the house that was firebombed that he was in. Malcolm was in that house with his family that you saw in the movie, et cetera. And so,
yes.
The house was.
Oh,
cool.
I saw the house. I saw the house.
Oh, you did?
Because he was right down the street where he met Muhammad Sadiq, carried us by. And he was right down the street from the LaGuardia Airport.
That's right. Well, he met Muhammad Sadiq. May Allah forgive him, his sins and grant him paradise. You know, he used to live out there. With a sister Gloria. Sister Gloria, he lived in her house, and he lived with her, and she's still alive. She's down in Atlanta, Georgia. And I see her at the Atlanta Masjid. Yeah, she's still living. She's down at the Atlanta. You know, she's one of those great sisters that served this community so well that, you know, what they call unsung, you know. She wasn't looking for any, but she served all of the leadership, you know, Minister Farrakhan and Imam Ali Rashid, Imam Bakruddin, and, you know.
You know,
she's been around.
Yeah, can we get her on the show? You think she will come on the show?
I will get her number. I'll get her number for you.
Wow.
We get her on the show. She knows. One time I took her and Imam Muhammad Sadiq, we went to a diner over there by the airport that Imam Muhammad used to love to go to. And I never forgot Imam Sadiq said to her, "Sister Gloria, do you remember so-and-so when this happened?" And she said, "That's a brother question. Why are you asking me that?" But you know, the funny part about it is those sisters, those pioneer sisters, it wasn't that they didn't know, but they wasn't going to speak on it. Believe me,
yes,
they
do.
They do, you know.
So,
how
did you get the name Masjid Nuruddin? Is that a certain person?
Well, you know, most masjid named after Masjid Al Quran or things like that. They named after brothers. This our masjid is actually named after a sister, Sister Nuruddin, who was a very hard worker. Yeah, very hard worker. Donated a lot of money to the community and everything, and had a whole family there. And Imam Bakruddin, who's my predecessor, may Allah forgive him and send grant him the paradise. He said we should name this masjid, because it used to be called the Queen Center. But he said we should name this masjid after Sister Nuruddin. And that's what he did. And one of her grandchildren is still around in the community. We don't see him that often, but once in a while he comes by, you know. And yeah, our masjid is named after Sister.
What's her full name?
I don't remember her name from the first. I don't remember the name that she had from the first. I know she didn't change that name. But I didn't know her. I didn't know her, but I knew her family, you know. And Imam Bakruddin knew her. She was a pioneer.
Okay.
She couldn't come out. Even she was up in age, she wasn't coming. She didn't come out that often back then. But yeah, that's some of the history of Masjid Nuruddin. And you know, by us being near the airport, all kind of people used to come to Juma there, you know, because it's close to the airport. It's only 5 minutes away from the airport, LaGuardia Airport. I remember a couple of times I was doing Juma and Imam's brother, Akbar, was sitting out there. And I said, oh, man, this man's a scholar. And I'm standing up here talking crazy. And he's going to look at me like, I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. And so he said to me after the Juma, he said, keep studying.
That's right, alhamdulillah. So do you have a phone number, email, or address if someone wanted to send a contribution? And also, is there a name for this effort?
Yeah, it's called Restoration of Masculinity. Restoration.
Okay.
Restoration of Masculinity. They can send contributions to if they have a Cash App, they can send it to $ Masjid, M-A-S-J-I-D, N-U-R. Or if they deal with Zelle, they can Zelle it to Masjid Nuruddin and use this number, 917-416-4175. That's Masjid Nuruddin with the phone number 917-416-4175. But we're very grateful to you, Reverend. Yes, go ahead.
Just for the benefit of those like me, I've not been very successful with Zelle. So can you tell us real quickly, if you know, how do you use Zelle?
So depending on most banks, I would say 90% of banks utilize Zelle. It used to be called QuickPay, but it's QuickPay by Zelle, but they changed it to just Zelle now, Z-E-L-L-E. So if you have your bank app on your phone, you can just go register for Zelle, which means that you can now send and receive money right over the phone. You just put the person's name on there or whoever you're sending it to, and you use their phone number or either their email address, whatever they're using. Once you get registered to Zelle, you just put the amount of money that you want to send, and you press send and done, and then that's it. So it's a great new technology. And Cash App is easy, too. If you have a Cash App application.
I love that one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have Cash App?
Yes, sir, I do.
Yeah, now the only thing about Cash App. Oh, yeah,
both.
The only thing about Cash App, they take a little money out of there unless you leave it in there for 3 days or whatever. A sister sent us $1,000 the other day. They took $28, which I thought was a lot to take out. They took out $28, you know. And she said, well, I wish I'd have known that, you know. I said, well, I don't know why you didn't send it through Zelle, but she sent it to Cash App. But, yeah, so Cash App and Zelle. And, of course, they could always mail it if they want to send a check. They could always go to MasjidNuruddin.org. And I thought we had got the donate button straightened out. I think it is. But Brother William Kareem, who you know, he said that he didn't see it. But
yeah,
the donate button should be on there, MasjidNuruddin.org. Now, if you want to do and that's through PayPal.
Well, do us a favor because Nuruddin can be spelled numerous ways. How do you spell Nuruddin?
That is N-U-R-I-D-D-I-N, N-U-R-I-D-D-I-N, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So we thank you, Brother Imam, so much for this opportunity, and it's been really enjoyable talking to you. I got some family matters to attend to.
Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir.
But we appreciate this opportunity to share with you, and we look forward to being with you. Now, when we get back on the air, my show is has been preempted during Ramadan. They're doing a telethon at American Muslim 360. But we're on Thursday mornings,
right,
at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've had you on before, but we're going to look to get you back on again. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And thank you for, I guess we're very fast here. I know you all call it the restoration of the Masjid. I'm going to call it a resurrection. You're going to come back alive.
Oh,
no,
I like that.
That's right. All right, thank you.
All right, brother, man. We talk to you all soon, and hope to talk to you before Ramadan. If not, Eid Mubarak to you and all your listeners.
Alhamdulillah. Eid Sa'id Mubarak. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Eid Sa'id Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Yeah, that's our beloved Imam. You said Ramadan, the Imam of the Masjid in Queens, New York, Masjid Nuruddin.
Yes.
I thought that was very exciting. That's the second Masjid I know of now that was named after a sister. Masjid Hassan in Fort Worth, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's also named after a sister in Fort Worth, Texas, Master Hassan.
Mm-hmm.
902, Master Nuruddin in Queens. Yes. Okay.
Leila.
Yes, sir. So we're going to talk about this topic here. I don't have any solid, organized notes about
right.
human excellence.
Yes.
And that Allah is our Savior. If you have any questions or comments you want to add along the way, you know, that's one caller. Let's see what this caller been. Had the button push. I meant to give you them earlier. This is caller from 562. Caller from 562. You have a question or comment for us, please? Caller from 562, area code? Okay. I think
sounds like Long Beach.
Is that Long Beach?
Okay. Yeah, sounds like Long Beach. I think I know who that is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, but they're not saying anything, so we just put it back on hold.
I don't know why they're not talking.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe. Well, they've been on hold for a while, but I wanted to get through the main part of what I guess.
Yeah.
But we just have a talk about human excellence, and we look at Prophet Muhammad, peace and peace be upon him. He is that complete human being, and meaning that he reached his potential. That is a potential in all of us, in our human excellence, but he was able to reach it. He also was successful in his human excellence before revelation, as he married Yusuf. Ramadan, he had said that he was known as Al-Amin and known as As-Siddiq and other noble names before revelation. And Imam Muhammad was saying here that he, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had lived for 40 years among false idols and false idol worshippers and had retained the human mold that God created for Adam.
Mm-hmm.
This is very powerful to know that Prophet Muhammad, peace and peace be upon him, in the midst of the worst worship, the abundance of false worship, he was able to retain the human mold that God created for Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Muhammad said, "Let us follow that man and love him, Muhammad, more than we love our families, and love him more than we love our own selves, because he is our original self for excellence." This is Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. This is Muhammad before he received revelation, that he was able to maintain that original mold, human mold, that God made for Adam. This is important for us to think about. We talk about salvation, because we have either Allah is our Savior. I agree, we should say Allah is our only Savior. Because Allah is the Savior of all the saviors given to the human family throughout history. Every last one of them depended upon Allah being their Savior. So Allah is the Savior of all saviors. Isn't that what we find about with Christ Jesus? He called on God to save him. So the one who they point to as a savior, he needed a savior.
Yep.
Moses Moses saved the people of Israel from Pharaoh. But Moses himself needed a savior. So Prophet Muhammad, he saved the people from darkness and ignorance and jahiliya. But he too needed a savior. So the beauty of Islam, we don't paint Muhammad as being a savior, though in many ways he was. But we know that the savior of all quote-unquote saviors is none other, always has been, and always will be, Almighty God, Allah. That's important for us to remember. And that Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, was still in that saved mold. So the original mold of Adam and his wife, they were already saved because they were in their human excellence. Is that not right? When before they ate from the forbidden tree, as the story or the parable is given, they were already in heaven, and they were already saved. So the message in that, Brother Emil Ayman and dear listeners, one message in it is that if we can keep within that original, and that's the key word, original is the key word, if we can keep within our original human pattern, human nature, human order, it's all human. We're not saints. We're not angels. We stay in our original human nature, then that is the salvation. And what else besides the human beings needs saving? In all the creation, is there anything else besides the human beings that need to be saved? If it is, tell me. It can't be the plants. It can't be the animals. It can't be the planets out in space. It can't be the world in the microbe world or the insects. None of them need to be saved because they are already saved. Because they are saved because their nature, they stay within their nature and they follow the instincts of their nature. So when we read the verses in the Quran, Allah says he made us fi ahsani taqwim, balanced. But then we can go to become the lowest of the low. But if we continue to have faith and do like the thieves, we would not go to be the Lord for the low. So, Brother Emil Ayman, we have been given an idea of heaven as being this place somewhere.
somewhere. In the sky, by.
Everybody points up, right? I was at McDonald's years ago, and the young girl behind the counter, we got into the same topic about heaven. I said, where's heaven at? She pointed up. I said, you pointing that direction? I said, well, the people in China, when they can point up, they're going to point the other direction. Now, which way is up? And you can see her looking down at the counter thinking. She was really thinking. You know what your young sister did? She probably about 16, 17 years old. She looked at me, and she pointed to her heart. She said, heaven's right here. She said, heaven's right here.
Alhamdulillah.
You got it.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. They got us suspended in the clouds looking for an unnatural heaven. So salvation, get into heaven. Don't look up in the clouds.
That's right.
Of the sky. what is the word for heaven in the Quran?
Samawati?
No, Samawati.
Samawati, okay.
What?
Yeah, they translated the heavens, yeah, Samawati.
Yeah.
The skies.
Yeah. You know, most times when they say Jannah, I don't know why, but most times they say paradise, don't they? I've not seen very many translations when they translate Jannah, do they say heaven. They tend to say paradise. But in the Quran, when it says, while Samawati were arti, it says the heavens and the earth. It's in there numerous times. I mean, it's in there quite a bit, more than...
No, nine. Yeah. They do. You see the heavens and the earth. So, yeah, I usually use the word sky. I do it on purpose.
Why?
The sky and the earth. Because I want them to know that word really is talking about sky.
Yes, sir. So what's the connection? There has to be some wisdom behind that.
Oh, it is.
It definitely is.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Well, you know, heaven mm-hmm. should be an elevated place. You know, it should be a place where you're in a high elevated position in life. Well, you're not mm-hmm. falling down and clinging, to the, I would say, the earthly appetites, or clinging to the earth, as Allah had described that man, who Allah said he sent the signs of Allah to the man, and the man ignored the signs of God, and said when he ignored the signs of God, he start clinging to the earth with his desires. And so your hawa, your inclination, your passions, sometimes can cling to the earth, and that's what causes you to go to Radatnahu as Safilin. You go down to the lowest of the low, because you're clinging to the earth, and you're coming out of that human excellence, that human mold, that human nature that God created us in and wanted us to stay in from the very beginning. There's many influences, as we know, in the culture, in the environment too, that cause people to come mm-hmm. out of their human excellence and come down to, the lowest of the low. So these are the things we have to, remind ourselves. This Ramadan is reminding us, that God wants us to stay within this mold, because this is the heavenly life. This is the elevated place that God wants us to be going through this journey that we're here on this earth. We want to try to stay in accord with the fitra, with the natural nature that God created us in, the original nature.
Yes, sir, the original nature. The Samawati, I'm going to say it this way. This is my way of saying this. So the Samawati is comparative to the earth. You're saying anything that's above the earth. In other words, it's not dirt. It's not rock. It's not water either. It's above it. So really, when we stand up, that we are in Samawati. We are in the heavens. But we're not down on the dirt. We're not into the dirt. We're not into the water even, as you may say. So when it says heaven and earth, you know that the Quran is speaking to the human being. We are the only thing in creation that need to be saved from the hellfire. We're the only thing that need to be saved. It says man and jinn. But man and jinn are still talking about two-legged individuals. One just controlled by the jinn nature, and the other two-legged person is controlled by their rational mind. But besides that, there's nothing in creation that needs salvation. So therefore, all the revelation is speaking about saving human beings, or mankind. I should say mankind,
yeah.
Human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's there's a lot of people who were part of mankind who have not achieved the level of being human. They're not a human being yet. The other guy's driving license and everything, they got a car, wife, family. They are not human. They are not human. They are the Safalah, Safaling. They're two-legged people.
Yeah.
Safalah is saying the lowest. Safaling is saying low. The Safalah is saying the lowest of the low. And so,
yeah.
If the only entity, the only being, the only thing in creation that need to be saved are human beings.
Right.
Not the fly, not the mosquito, not the water, not the sun, moon, the star. The only creation that needs salvation is the human being.
Like you said, not even the snake.
Let's take it one step further. Not even the pig. Comes here, right? Pig. The pig don't need salvation.
Nope.
Because the pig is being 100% pig. Now the human being,
right,
we need salvation because we can become a pig. But a pig can't become a human.
That's right.
You see? Yeah.
Yeah,
we got a lot of pigs out here.
Got a lot of pigs.
A lot of pigs, horses, dogs,
yeah,
snakes,
and monkeys.
And so, monkeys,
mm-hmm,
and donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And so the entity, the only entity in creation that needs salvation is human being. But once we get back to our original, that's the story. Mm-hmm. When I say original, I'm stopping after saying original because I want that word to sink in.
Right.
Once we return to our original human nature, our original human excellence, we are back in the state of heaven that Adam was in, the same state that Prophet Muhammad, the presence of peace be upon him, didn't lose even while he was in the midst of paganism and pagan worship. You got a call
here, sir. Alhamdulillah.
You got time there?
Yeah, I wanted to say this before we get to the caller.
Yes, sir.
You spoke about the fire, you know, save us from that fire of hell. Well, you know, that fire, as we know, it starts right here. And really, it's addressing the passions, you know, our desires, our hawa, you know, our passion, our desires, our appetites that we have that sometimes get out of control in this material world. And when those passions and desires get out of control, it's like a fire being out of control.
Mm.
And on a fire, as you know, being a fireman, you had to put out a whole bunch of fires, you know. Still putting out fires.
Fire.
I know.
My own fire.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. So the fire can burn you up, but it's out of control, like anger, you know. And I was reflecting on the ayat in the Quran where it says, "Have you seen the one that takes for his God his own passion and desires?"
Whoa.
It says, "Can you be a disposer of his affairs? Can you really help him? Can you really talk to these people when they're under the fire of their passions, under the, you know, the out of control passions in that situation? Can you really get to them?" He says, "No." He said, "The reason why, because they're like cattle, or worse than cattle that have gone astray." And I thought about cattle, and I thought about sometime when there's a stampede, you know. Man, if you don't get out the way, just like over in Israel, just to happen the other day, you're going to be stampeded, and you might lose your life. So this is how serious this is when it comes to the hawa, the passions the desires of people and inclinations. And remember, the Prophet told us in a very beautiful hadith, he said that none of you believe until your hawa, your passions, are in accord with what he has brought. And he brought the Quran. He brought this beautiful message in the Quran, which we're reading every day now, you know, during the month of Ramadan. And we're really trying to control our passions and desires to be in accord with the will and plan of God for us here on this earth. That's all I had to say before you brought in the caller.
Well, thank you. Well, caller, hold on for just one more minute because Brother Imam, because you're going to say something, got me going. The Quran says, and the horses that pant, the horses that run, you know, and the horses, the horses is a sign, a symbol of human emotionality.
Yeah.
Big, big, strong feelings, right? But Imam, he said, do you see how they put blinders on the horse? Blinders? And so that the horse can't look left or right and become distracted. But then they put a ring in the horse's nose to rein him in. Now, that ring and rein alpha means to control.
Controlling.
To control. Yes. There and so he was saying that's how they do the mess of the people. No, they just had the Kentucky Derby yesterday. And I'm looking at this because the winner of the Derby yesterday was called Medina Spirit. I don't know what that means. I may have to get my brother the email for him to wave on that one. Okay, let's go to our caller here. Caller been very patient. Caller 520, can you give us your first name, your
That's
city, and thank you
Facebook.
For calling the Word My People? 520, you're on.
Can I find out? How do you...
My goodness.
I'm looking at Facebook, somebody you know.
Hello.
Hello?
Okay. So it is a blue page, right?
Okay, it's a blue page. It says.
Okay, we're gonna try our other callers who maybe they're ready now. 562. Call from 562. Thanks for calling, Worth Made People. Can you give us your first name, city, your comment? But brother, your man, all you do is give him a chance.
That's right. Yeah, I was thinking about this too when you said horse. When you said horses.
Okay.
Hold on for a minute. 520.
Okay.
You're on. Okay. Well, alhamdulillah. I'm sorry, go ahead, brother, man.
Yes, sir. I was thinking about this, too. Imam Muhammad had pointed out to us, this is back in 1981 at the Craig Talk in Oakland, California. He was talking about Moses. No, this was the next day. This is the next day when he spoke on the Sabbath, and he was relating to us the story of Musa in the Quran, and when he came in the presence where Allah was talking to him direct, and he said that he came to him and he had on horseshoes. He said those who stand in my presence have to take the shoes off, you know. And the shoes he had on was na'alek. It's a na'aleka. That's the Arabic word that's used, na'aleka, your shoes. You know, your shoes. It was his, you know, singular, na'aleka, you know. He had these shoes on. And my understanding of that is these were the shoes that were given to him by the Faraon, you know, to make him a workhorse, you know. I was reflecting on that when you said horses, because Allah doesn't want us to come, you know, to be like that in the world. You know, we don't want to be like a horse, you know, especially with blinders on and a rein in our nose, you know, being reined in by the society and by the culture. That's not what we want in life. We just don't want to work our lives like that, all and not having a purpose in life and not being able to really live up to our potential that God gave us, you know. So I was thinking about that when you said that. Yeah, go ahead.
No, thank you very much. Yeah, that's very true. If you want to encourage our listeners, if you want to join the conversation with a brief comment, and I emphasize brief, and or a question on this topic, please press 1 on your phone, and we will work you into the conversation with Allah's help, inshallah. We want to hear from you also. So I was thinking, Brother Imam Ayman, dear listeners, and I'm not saying that I have the answer, but I have some thinking on this topic, and the topic of this title that Imam Muhammad chose, this title, spokesman for human salvation. And so I'm reflecting on this title. Why did he choose this title? And once again, I have to say, I'm not saying this is the answer. He's not here for us to ask. And I'm not seeing the transcript or heard a tape where he explained it. But I'm like, a man of his stature and reach would not choose such a title unless that title was speaking to a bigger picture. It just doesn't make sense. For him to just say, he didn't just grab a name and some words out of the hat, and those names not have purpose to it. So if he's a spokesman, then he's an advocate. He's speaking for this purpose, and the purpose is human salvation. Why would human salvation be so important to him? And on the surface, we may say, where he was not just pushing for the black man. He was trying to say we all are humans and we all should get along. Okay, I can accept that. But my mind pushed me further. Now, this is a microsite here thinking. You can accept, you can reject. But apparently that the human life was in peril or in danger. It was in a bad way and did not have the proper advocate to speak on behalf of saving the human family. And so he took on that responsibility if no one else would not speak up and be the spokesman for saving the human family, I will. That's what I'm getting from that title. And when you take that, if you can accept that part, you go to the next part, isn't that what paradise is human salvation? Isn't that the goal, the aspiration of the Jews, the Christians, and others? Is to save the human salvation, to save the human soul, the human life. Isn't that what they all are striving for, saying this is what we stand for, this is what we believe in? They all are saying that. And if we go back to Adam and his mate, they were already in heaven. We all trying to get to heaven, right, for those who believe in heaven. And if you don't believe in heaven afterwards, you still want a state or a condition of heaven on this side of death. So that's a common destiny for all people. I want to be at peace. I want to know myself. I want to know my connection and my relationship to other people. And for the believer, you want to know our connection and our relationship with our Creator. If we can get to that, then we will be saved. We will be in a state of heaven. Before the many believers, we believe there's a bigger picture of heaven after death, and that's based upon faith. And I believe that. But that's the bigger picture afterwards. But the salvation of the human being is in us returning back to our human excellence that was first pictured with Prophet Adam upon him being peace. It was secondly pictured with the evolution of the development of the succession of prophets. And thirdly, a human picture of human excellence was completed with Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, sir. Did you insist somebody, ma'am? Imam Ayman? I thought you would say something. Yes. So, human excellence is to go. First, human excellence in the individual. You have to bring yourself, submit your will. Do not abandon your will. Because Allah gave you that will. You don't abandon it. You don't forsake it. We're not those who go in off and remove ourselves from society and deny our will. We keep the will that God gave us. Allah says to each of you is a goal that he turns us. So we keep that. But what we do with our will, we do what Prophet Muhammad did, and he made his will submit to God's will. So God does not want us to abandon the will that he gave us, to forsake or deny the will he gave us. He wants us to keep the will he gave us, but now make it conform and agree with Allah's will. That is the salvation, when we can do that and bring it in accord with God's plan. And if we take our will and do the opposite of what God wants us to do, then that will is the jinn side taking domination, and the jinn became the big jinn, Iblis. And if you keep pushing, knowingly pushing against God's will with your will, you will become a shaitan or a shaitin. Yes, in your pinstripe suit or your gym clothes or wherever you may be in, because your intellect now, your mind, M-I-N-D, is educated to the will of God, and you think you can outdo God. That was the problem with the shaitan. You are in the bottom of hell. Now, hell has seven levels also. Hell got seven levels. Heaven got seven levels. You remember Muhammad said, count the holes in your head.
Yes, that's right.
The eyes is 1, 2. The eyes is 1, 2. Mouth is 3, 4. Ears, 5, 6.
Yeah, mouth, 5.
Mouth,
5, 6, 7. Yeah.
They said there are seven gates to heaven.
Yes.
And there's seven gates to hell. It's the same gate. What is your attitude? What is your disposition?
That's right. It depends.
And if you allow the evil to come into those seven gates, you're in hell. But Allah has angels over those gates, that if you are willing to fight for what is right, then the angels will protect those gates and you'll be in heaven. Because we were born in heaven. We were first in heaven. And no one has ever came to this earth from hell. But every last one of us, every single one of us, came to earth directly from heaven in a state of heaven with the energy and desire for heaven. We were made right and inclined toward right. We were not shaped in iniquity. We were not born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were born and shaped by Allah. And Allah is good and only makes that which is good. But you remember, anything you want to share? He was there for a minute. Okay. But let's keep this talk going. If you have a question or comment, press 1 on your phone, and we'll bring you in to the conversation. But this is important for us to have this understanding of these concepts, because we have been given the idea or the picture of heaven in an unnatural way, way that would take us away from reality. And we have to look at heaven as being a natural thing, a natural state. That's the first level of heaven that we get. It's a natural thing. It's a natural state. It's a natural condition. And we keep saying natural, natural, natural. Because God made nature, and he made nature good. And as long as we stay in tune with nature, we are in heaven. When you get outside of nature, you have opened the doors for hell. And that's the person that get high on drugs, they're trying to get back to that nature that God gave them. That's why they kick so much hell, trying to get off drugs, because they have lost touch with their human excellence. So I want to read, this is again from the book, Commentary on Selected Verses of the Quran by Imam Muhammad. And just a note, dear people, on that book, we are working on it day and night to get it ready to be put out again. The first printing, we only printed 1,000 books with the intent to order more books. But as many of you know, the covers begin to come off the book, so we did not order anymore, because we cannot order an inferior product. So we are now in the midst of, in addition to doing some editing, we are now in the process of finding us another printer that can meet our needs. Plus, we are adding an index to the next printing. So we ask that you be patient with us. Be patient with us as we try to deliver a worthwhile product. But in the meanwhile, while you are waiting for the next printing, you can email us your name and address, and we will put you on our waiting list. And what does that do? Well, we're going to create a mass emailing, so when the book is ready, we can email everybody, do an email blast, and let everybody know that the new and improved version of the book is ready. And so that email address is, I give it twice, the email address to send your name and address to be put on our waiting list. The email is wdmqurancommentary@att.net. Just like WDM, like Wallace D. Muhammad. Yeah. WDM, Quran, no apostrophe, just Quran, commentary@att.net. Send us your name and address, and we will add you onto our waiting list. There's going to be a few more months before the book is ready. But it is an excellent book, very good book. But we have to make it the best. So I'm going to read a couple of portions from that book. And for those who do have the book, this is from page 12 of the book. And it's speaking about that the human value is a little above the angels. And that's another concept, too, in Islam, that the human being is a little above the angels. And Imam Muhammad says here, the Lord, who after creating them as matter, enabled them to be born from a biological matter, from a biological body of a female in the biological image of a human person. he came there and stood at a distance where you couldn't see him, God, and watched you to see that you developed where he wanted you to go. And every time you were in a crisis and the world could not solve the crisis, he, Allah, sent a word from himself through a vessel fit to carry it, i.e. a prophet, to get you where he wanted you to go as a person of great worth. You are worth so much until God says he made you a little above the angels. Not in the form that you are now, maybe, but in the form he wants you at the destination. So here Allah is saying to us that yes, we are made here as a physical human being, a biological person, what it says here. But then Allah will send his messengers along the way to get us to where we want, to our destination. So in our destination as human beings, we are a little above the angels. So why is a human being seen as being above the angels? Because the human being has to struggle. Angels do not have to struggle. Human beings have to grow and develop, make decisions, figure things out. So there is a muscle or a quality of the human being that angels do not have. So let us be very mindful of this, what it's saying here. Allah made the human being a little above the angels. So Allah made us to be free. He wants us to be free from physical bondage, physical restriction. He wants us to have the freedom of a human intellect, you know, that rational potential that God gave equally to all people. God gave us an intellect equal to everyone. When Allah told the angels to bow down, make prostration to Adam, to our father. Dear people, what is that saying to us? What is the message we ought to get from that? Why would God tell us, tell the angels to bow down to us? And one reason being because that was Adam, that was us, the human being, and pictured in Adam, in our pure state. When the human being is in this pure state, Allah tells the angels, submit to him, submit to us. The angels begin to ask questions in the beginning. You want us to bow to that which is going to cause, that's given to us, that's going to cause mischief and bloodshed? But Allah says, you're not seeing my human being in his complete picture. You're seeing the human being in their infant stage, in their baby stage. You're trying to judge my infant in his beginning stages, but when you see him in his complete stage, and that's Muhammad is the complete stage, bow down to him. So Allah, in our human excellence, we are above the angels. And the angels will submit and work for on our behalf. They work for God, but on our behalf. Again, they work for Allah, but on our behalf. Because Allah made us in our excellence above the angels. Now, if you are not living up to your human excellence, you will go back to what it says in Surah 95, the Safala Safalim. You won't just be the low. You're going to be the lowest of the low. And the reason why you become the lowest of the low, because your potential was to be the highest of the high. But since you missed that form and you cheated that form, you neglected that form, then you get the results of going the direct opposite and become the lowest of the low. But our model, Muhammad the prophet, even before he received revelation, he was on that high plane of human excellence. He said, oh, tell them, Muhammad, you have already lived a lifetime amongst them. Before he received revelation, we have lived a whole lifetime amongst us. You know, I mean, on your back, I'd like to hear from you as well.
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay. Until you have any comments, or our listeners, you can please.
One comment. When you say excellent, I'm thinking about Uswatin Hassan. Uswatin Hassan.
Yeah.
And go ahead and elaborate on that, because I've got to do something right quick.
Okay. Thank you. I like that. Yes. It says in the Quran, it says that indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, an excellent model. You have in him, you have in Muhammad an excellent model of, you stand on an exalted character. And so that right there is speaking of Muhammad, the present peace be upon him, as being the model, his uswa. Uswa hasanati. Uswa is saying that it is not just his sunnah. A lot of people say, oh, you probably got the sunnah of the prophet. The sunnah of the prophet. Okay. But you'll find nowhere in the Quran where it says the sunnah of the prophet. It's not there. You can look for what you want to. It's not there. It will speak about the sunnah of Allah. It will speak about the sunnah of certain tribes and people throughout times, but you won't find the sunnah of Muhammad in the Quran. But you will see what the Quran speaks about, his exalted character, his exalted example, is uswa. And then the uswa comes from the Arabic word siwa. And siwa means to be balanced, to be balanced. And that he was excellent in his balance. And therefore, Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon him, is a model of our human excellence. And if we follow that, we too can be on that same level, that same pattern. And when we say level, we're not saying the level of a prophet, because we cannot be a prophet. But we, on the level of human excellence, yes, we can achieve that level of human excellence. Allah will not give us a model that we cannot achieve. It would be unfair for God to give us a model that is that can't be emulated, that we cannot achieve that level of human excellence. Allah would not give that to us. It would not be fair and proper to say this is your model, but you are ill-equipped to meet that standard of the model. You can say, well, Allah, that's not a good model for me. That man can fly. I can't fly. That man can walk on water. I can't walk on water. Then Allah said he gave us a Bashar Muftikun, a flesh and blood man just like you. Some say, well, send us an angel. Allah says, if the earth had been populated by angels, I would have sent you an angel. But the earth is populated by human beings, and Allah sent us Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. That is the human excellence. We can achieve it. We are born in that state of human excellence, and we are put on the road of struggle to achieve it on our own. Allah gives it to us in the beginning. We are born in that natural state on the pattern of Adam. And then Allah gives us the life of toil and struggle. And through toil and struggle, we perfect, we grow, we develop, we struggle, we fall down, we get back up. That's how Allah made life to be. But we are always seeking human excellence. You say, I may not never get there, That's the reason why it says it. We get to our quote-unquote perfection, not that we ourselves become perfect, but we reach the perfection by having the intent to be perfect. I hope that makes sense, that we understand the commitment to more, because Prophet Muhammad said whenever the believer intends to do a thing, they seek to perfect it. America says that we are towards, we are towards a more perfect nation. So, and the wisdom in that is like that coach that pushed that athlete, or that teacher that pushes that student. Though the student is already an A-plus student, or that athlete is an off-court athlete, the coach don't say, well, let me quit pushing them. They can go ahead and miss practice now. No, because they will fail. That student will fail, or their grades will go down. So that our perfection, our excellence is in that we have developed a submitting soul. We had developed a submitting will to always to strive to please Almighty God Allah. And that is the saving force to keep us from falling back. Safallah, Safaleen. Email Ayman, help me out. It's Ramadan, my mouth getting dry. You got to talk for a while.
Okay. MashaAllah. You know, I like what you said about those was in Hasana, Muhammad the Prophet, that he had wonderful human model, human excellent example as a human being. And you know, you said about, you know, God didn't give us a supernatural model to you know, imitate or follow, you know, because we're human beings. And as the Prophet said, "Kul innama ana basharun mislukum," tell them that you are a human being just like them, that I'm a human being just like them, you know, like Muhammad is a human being just like us. So that uswatan hasana is a part of us also. It's a part of our nature, you know. And Allah speaks of even Abraham of having an excellent example, uswatan hasana, I think, in the Quran. Mm-hmm. And we know that our religion, our way of life, is the milla of Abraham, the way of Abraham, the hope of Abraham. Okay? So Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, our leader, Khatam al-Nabiyin, the seal of the prophets, the last prophet to come, he really was able, Allah brought it out in him. He was able to really bring everything home so we would be at home with our own selves, our own human nature. Now, you know, it's the thing about being away from home, you know, being away from home, you know. Well, you know, you can be at home in your house, your physical house, your building that you live in, and you still can be away from home. And the home we're talking about is being at home in your nature, in your fitra, in your human excellence. That's when you at home. That's when you at home. You know, and we all are trying to get there. We all are trying to get there. You know, that's where we want to stay.
Yes,
as a matter of fact, the Kaaba represents that original nature. You see, it all goes back to that original nature because everything came out of that. You know, and as it was in the beginning, so should it be in the end. You know, so all come out of that original human nature, the fitra. As a matter of fact, this is what this whole month of Ramadan is about. You know, of coming back home and being reborn again.
That's right.
Being reborn again, having a rebirth after being out of touch, maybe with our basic original nature. Because you know, America, the environment we live in, you know, it really is a test for us. It's a great, great test, and I believe that the bigger the test, the greater the reward. The bigger the test, the greater the reward. And the human being shall have nothing except for what he strives for. And that whatever you're striving for, Salafa Yurah, will soon come in sight, will soon come in sight, you know, and we know nothing, mm-hmm. nothing leaves nothing, you know, so if you ain't striving for nothing, you ain't going to get nothing, you know, but we know we have to struggle, we have to struggle, to strain, you know, we have to endeavor, you know, we have to put effort, you know, to keep this good human nature, which is our Savior, you know, like we talked about. You know, you want to be saved? Well, okay, well, stay in accord with your fitrah. Stay in accord with your human nature. You know, it's a jihad. And Muhammad the Prophet, he told the believers when they came from the Battle of Badr. He said, we left one battle. We're getting ready to go to a bigger battle. And they're trying to figure out what the bigger battle was. And he said, it is the struggle of the soul, jihad and nafs, the struggle of the soul. Yes, and we'll be struggling with that for a long time. As a matter of fact, I was just reading some material from Imam Muhammad on the soul, you know, and he said the soul never dies. You know, he was explaining this, you know, that soul never dies. You know, although you're leaving this physical world, that soul is you, and that's what's going to be judged on the day of judgment. That's what's going to be judged.
Yes,
you know, your physical body.
Yes,
the physical body ain't nothing but a servant of the soul, a servant of what's on the inside. On the inside, you know.
It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. But some people give it up, and so I'm announced to try and get us to.
Yeah.
And now you have mixed the roles up.
That's true.
Your mind, and we'll say it, supposed to be controlling your flesh, but buddy, you know, lost control in your flesh.
It's
controlling you.
Control.
And so I think you need to fast for about 30 days. I think you need to fast for about 30 days and get this thing turned around right. But hey, we got a caller here. We got a caller here. I know this number, and I'm obligated to take this number because it's my wife. Okay.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum. Thanks for calling Worth Made People. And you have a question or comment?
Okay.
My dear.
Greetings to everyone. The topic is very informative. I personally have enjoyed it. And I think you've done a very good job of explaining things, especially in this month of Ramadan, because it seems like your topics that you were talking all the time touch on everything that we have been reading in the Quran so far for the month of Ramadan.
Great. Well, thank you very much. We do appreciate that. You have a question, comment? Was that it?
That was it. That was it. So maybe continue to, continue what we've been doing during the month of Ramadan, reflecting back.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you very much. Okay. That was good to know that we are making that connection. We do encourage our other listeners to press one on your phone, your question and comment, and we'll work you into the conversation. We thank you, Carolyn, for your support. Brother Imam Ayman, let's look at, if you can, inshallah, God willing, the first war fought.
Better.
The first war fought was Shaitan against the human person.
Okay, that war, okay.
The first war. I mean, not for the new Muslim community. You're right. It was the battle of Badr for the new Muslim community. But for mankind, humankind, the first war ever fought was when we were attacked, assaulted by the Shaitan. We have a saying that says the first impression is the lasting impression. And so this first war that was fought was a effort to show that the human person was not worthy of being recognized, of being saluted, of being appreciated. every other war, physical, mental, spiritual war, is based off of the blueprint and the pattern of the first war. There's always that key element in every war since then to disprove human beings of being worthy of something that God said that they were worthy of. You call it democracy or whatever you want to call it. There's every battle fought was because someone thought that those people were less than. That's the spirit. That's the confession of the Shaitan. I am better than he. And every war fought since then is because these people over here were convinced, but over there were less than. And when most soldiers are trained to fight an enemy, the one doing the training always give the enemy a derogatory name that is less than. They misname them by purpose. Call them a gook, a kink, a spick, a nigger. They have to find, the only way a person can declare war on another human being is that they have to take that strategy of the Shaitan and say, I am better than them. You cannot go kill another person if you see them as your equal, or issue a respect in the fact that they are God's creation. You can't do it. So they give you a nickname for them. Or they tell you they got tails. Or they say they don't believe in God. They find some kind of way to lower the value and the standard of the quote-unquote enemy or those on the other side that allows, and once you accept that, they are less than or not fit to be, that allows you to raise your rifle up at them and pull a trigger. But if you are seeing them as God's creation, you can't raise your rifle up and pull a trigger. People, when they kill somebody, they are calling them out of their name. Because that's part of their psychology that allows you to take another human life or to rob somebody that was created by God of life. That's the whole scheme of Shaitan. So when we get back to human salvation, we have to look at any kind of way that thinking of Shaitan has devalued human life. And one of the main tricks, because the Satan is so subtle, excuse me, he is so subtle and so evil and so wicked until he says, I will fight them for where they can't see me. So what the Shaitan does, he will put on the cloak, the dress, of religion. And there's no religion by name. I'm not saying by substance and purpose, but there's no religion by name that the Shaitan has not put on their dress and their language to run his scheme to devalue other human beings. There is no way that Muslims can mistreat Muslim women unless that bad germ of Shaitan has gotten into the minds of the males that these women are less than men. That is a devaluing of the human life. We cannot find support for that devaluation in the Quran. We cannot find support for that devaluation in the life of Muhammad the Prophet. But those who have the evil ones put on the cloak of being a good Muslim, and they can't get into the Quran, but they can get into the interpretation. that can get into the commentary, that can get into the hadith, that can get into the other dialogues and twist the meaning and put the little drop of poison in the Kool-Aid. And so that's still, the root of that is still a war, a battle against human excellence. They use the gender as a dividing line to devalue human beings. They use skin color. They use ethnicity. They use financial status. They even use education and politics to say that the other side is something wrong with them. And they're doing that in the spirit of the shaitan. Whether they realize it or not, they are using the tool of the shaitan. So he come, and I'm getting back to that title what Imam Muhammad used. He said, someone needs to speak up and be the spokesman for human salvation. Someone has to bring it back to the excellence that Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, established. And in Medina and Manara, that has to be done. That's the work. That's the struggle. That's the job that has to be done. And now, dear people, you say you are a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and we're not picking up that noble job, that struggle, that difficulty of being those who are going to pick up the banner to build and support and construct human excellence, then we are not the best students of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We have to pick up on the noble destiny or struggle to build up human excellence, regardless if they call themselves Muslim, Christian, Jew, Sabian, or others. If we can build in them human excellence, then that is Islam. And that is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not Muhammad, the two-legged man, but Muhammad, the mission. Muhammad, the purpose. Muhammad, the destiny. Does he know Ayman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right here. I'm right here. Right here.
Yes, that is
yes,
the fight.
No, I like that. I like that. That's the fight, man, to establish that human excellence on the earth. Because they're trying to take it out, you know.
But if they give us the idea that heaven is somewhere up in the clouds, we're not going to see the battle. It's right here. It's right here.
That's right.
There's a reason why we face toward the Kaaba. What is the Kaaba?
Right.
Then they say, well, it's the house, it's the original house. But what does it represent? The original man. That's what it is, right? And no, we don't mean the Asiatic black man. We ain't talking about that black man. We talking about the man in the original human nature. That's why the house is black and the stone is black. Because you're saying your original state is worthy of bowing down to. Now, we think about it when Allah told the angels to bow down to human excellence. But we all around the world face toward Mecca, and we bow down, too, toward human excellence. Why?
Because
that is the model we're trying to achieve. We are submitting our will to that model that's presented in the Kaaba and in the Black Stone. Trying to get back to the black. And we ain't talking about no black skin. We're talking about black meaning the original. And the key word is original. O-R-I-G-E-N-A-L, original. When somebody tell you second nature, no such thing. If it's a second nature, then it's shaitan.
It's an oxymoron. Nature is only
okay.
original. Nature is never second. Our mind comes second. We try to play with it, try and get philosophical with it, try and sound cute, sound smart, look cute with it. That's a second nature, and it's not yours.
That's right.
It's Shaitan's. And he give you the idea it's yours, and you go off with it like you got something. No, your original nature. So, but man, you were saying something about that's the reason for Ramadan, right? To get back to our fixture.
Yeah, that's right.
Now we can see why. Now we can see why the Eid is called Eid al-Fitr.
Right.
Because
right.
at the end of your 30 days of fasting, you should be back to your fitr, to your
you.
Not your fitr, your original fitr, and then you celebrate
right.
the victory.
I love it. You celebrate.
What does Eid mean? What does Eid mean? Right.
Yes. Sir. Yes. Right. Reoccurring happiness, coming back into the
reoccurring, the renewal,
reoccurring. That's right.
That's right. But what's reoccurring? The victory. What is the victory over? Our passions, our appetites, us being controlled by appetites. Don't you know, dear people, the human being, we're not supposed to be getting along with our appetites. We are supposed to be dominating our appetites.
That's right.
It ain't no arm wrestle. It's even an arm wrestle to where one day, you're doing good and you're all tense and you're shaking. And then the next day, the appetites come over here and then you're getting weak and you're getting ready to go down. No. No.
Yeah.
The human being is supposed to be in control, and Ramadan is giving us that message that we, by the grace of Allah, we are to be in control over, not with, over our appetites, over our desires, over the jinn within. You got folks looking for the jinn in the dog, looking for the jinn in the forest, not realizing the jinn right inside of them. And so the Prophet Muhammad said, everybody got jinn in them. And they said, dear Holy Apostle, do you have a jinn inside of you too? He said, yes.
Yep.
I got a jinn inside of me. He said, but I was so devout until I wore him out. And
you go.
The jinn began to say, and then the jinn began to say, salama, salama, peace, peace.
That's right.
So, dear people, wear your jinn out. Some call it a shaitin or shaitan, but they're related. One just a bigger fire.
Yeah.
One just a bigger passion.
That's right.
But wear it out. And when you fasting in Ramadan, you are wearing that rascal out. You're supposed to be in control over your passions, your appetites, not your passions or your appetites to control over you.
That's right. That's right.
Ramadan
Mubarak. Ramadan Mubarak.
Yeah. Hey, now, I know it's 3 o'clock. It's time for it to go off. But you know, I added on another hour. But I thought we were gonna be talking. But since no one's gonna press one on their phone.
Yes.
And I've not made Zoo a prayer. I'm gonna go ahead and end the conversation.
He was charging a minute, so.
Oh yes.
I don't know what he charged. Are you
sitting? Yes.
Who's that in the background? I hear some voices.
Oh, that's Brother Jalal. That's okay. I asked him, did he call into the radio program today? He said he couldn't do it, you know. But yeah, alhamdulillah,
yeah,
man,
you know,
that's it.
But I hear that sometimes. You know, sometimes people call in and they say, yeah, they charge them minutes. It's a certain
carrier. Yeah, they charge them minutes. That's what he just told me.
Yeah.
He said they used to didn't charge. Yeah.
Yes, I had the same thing. They used to not charge, but all of a sudden, You know, I guess I can tell they say, well, they're making progress now.
Yeah. It's too much light.
It's too much for this light.
You got to pay for
this
light.
Too much, You're right. I'm telling this brother, I guess it's a brother, from 520. Yeah. They've been on hold for the longest. I don't know, they on hold by accident. I'm trying one more time before we go.
Yeah, try one more time.
Call us from 520-400. You have a question or comment for us? Okay. Well, I tried three times. So, alhamdulillah.
I'm a witness.
Brother,
I'm a witness.
I tried three times. Okay. I guess some people push the number one out of habit. But just let us know that we have work to do.
Yep.
As your man Cosmo Akbar would always say, he said, you waiting for the cavalry? He said, you're it.
That's right.
You know, they show us in the cowboy movies or the war movies. They say, yeah, here come the cavalry. And then Cosmo said, you waiting for the cavalry? He said, it ain't coming.
That's right.
He said, you're it.
That's it.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. And so we waiting on some great Savior to come. You think Allah will send you here and not equip you with everything you need? No, Allah is fair and just. And He gave us everything we need. And so sometimes we neglect. But that's why that a mother eagle would push that baby eagle out the nest, because the eagle's already equipped and just don't know it. You know, when he pushed that baby eagle out of that nest, and the eagle, he gonna fall for a while. But out of fear and frustration, he gonna begin to flap his wings because he's scared. And then that wing gonna catch the wind.
Yeah.
Gonna catch that spirit of God. And catch that spirit of God and say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not falling anymore. Let me keep doing this.
That's right.
And for you know it, that's a message to us. We got to get out here to the streets. We got to get out here to the people.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Yeah. I think I covered all I wanted to cover. There was one more note I didn't read.
Right.
This is also from the book. I don't know what page it's on. Please forgive me.
Right.
But it was speaking about that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is closer to the believers than our own selves. And there's a hadith in Bukhari. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's in 49, sir. You know, the apartment.
Well, here it's also, it may be there too, but here it also is saying it's in Surah 33, Ayat 6.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah, 33, 6. But it may be both of them. I don't know.
No, 49 is something else. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 33, 6. I don't
know. What the man was saying here was that connecting ourselves back to our father, Adam.
Yeah.
And not God.
Right. There you go.
Adam is our father. God is our creator, and we are helped by earning his acceptance of us so that we are united again in that great relationship with our original nature and our own selves, our life. What will help the Muslims? He said, follow and do what the Prophet did. He said, that will help the Muslims. But he didn't stop there, Brother Ayman. He says, follow and do what Muhammad did. And he said, and look at Imam W.D. Muhammad for an example.
There you go.
So
that's it.
Yeah. So we have been blessed. Yes, indeed. Oh, caller here. This caller here from Indianapolis. Caller from Indianapolis. Can you give us your first name, your question or comment?
Mustafa. It's my first name. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Mustafa. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you, Rasulullah, my brother. Brother Iman, I just want to say thank you for the 2 weeks of Ramadan session. You and Brother Iman have really been inspiring us with knowledge. And it came to me as y'all was talking today that when something is being revealed to us, especially, Brother Iman, if we have no knowledge of it, and you and Brother Iman have been revealing some things to us today, Iman came to me when Allah reveals revelation to the prophet, they fell down on their face. So we as believers, when we get revelation, this is revelation that some of us get in the day that we never heard. So we should go make a prostration. We should go make sajda and thank Allah for what you all have been sharing today. This has really been good. Last week and this week, Brother Imam, it really been a Ramadan session. To Allah, may Allah continue to bless us all, Brother Imam. Ameen.
Ameen. I mean. Well, I know there are certain verses in the Quran where you make prostration, but and I fully respect what you're saying, but in the Quran, I think there are 15 different markers, right? That's what it's called, sajdat,
yes,
sajda tawalla. I think I said it right. Sajda tawalla. Then there's a command. Like our sister Shaki said, not only do it says to make prostration, there is an indication of demand. And brother, I don't have any demand on nobody to make prostration. But if your soul is so inclined.
No, sir.
And you and your Lord be at peace. You be at peace with your Lord. Alhamdulillah. But yes, sir.
It's really beautiful, brother, you man. Yes.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I really appreciate it, but but now the prostration don't have to be when we read it in the Quran that we make a physical prostration, right? We make a physical prostration.
No, sir.
But now in this case here, the prostration just means to submit to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear good knowledge, good information, I think it's now I got you now. I think it's what you're saying. That we hear new understanding, or maybe even new knowledge. The believer is obligated to submit to that new knowledge, that new understanding, and to follow to the best of their ability. And if we don't, if we neglect it, then it will neglect us. But we have to initiate the neglect. Yes, sir. So, in that sense, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We have to make a prostration in our mind. And now, in this prostration, right? They show the palm tree as a model of prostration. And Imam Muhammad, years ago, he tied this in with Jesus and Palm Sunday, what they call Jesus coming back into the city, what they call it Palm Sunday. Now, the Bible paints a picture of people laying down palm leaves on the pathway that Jesus was taking to come back into the city. But Imam Muhammad, he explained what that meant. We're talking about this prostration still, right? But Mustafa, we're still on prostration. Don't want to lose nobody. The palm leaves are very high on the palm tree. You got a long trunk, if you will. But the fruit, be it dates or coconut, whatever, and the leaves are all the way on the top of that tree, right? Now, the base of that tree is wider in diameter than the neck or the top part of the tree. Is that right? Am I making sense? You all hear me?
Yes, sir.
We got you. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Now, Imam Muhammad, when he was saying this, I'm telling you what he done. he was at the rostrum, and he unbuttoned the cuff on his shirt, and he put his elbow down on that rostrum, and he compared that palm tree with from his elbow to his hand. He said, "See how my arm down here is thick, like the base of that palm tree, and the higher you go up my arm," he got his hand up above his hand, right? He said, "You go up that palm tree, the bottom is thick, and you go up, and at the wrist, it becomes thinner. Like that palm tree is big at the base, and you go up that palm tree, it becomes thinner. You got it now? You see where I'm going with this? What do they call that little center on your hand?"
"Brother, man, I'm going to have to leave. I got about 25 boxes of groceries out here. I got to put in the mash tin right quick."
"I do understand. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Won't come back. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Amen.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaykum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak. So now, at the top of your wrist is what? The palm. You got it? The Muslim, you there? Okay.
Yes, sir. I was on mute. You know, somebody rolled up with a lot of noise, and I didn't want that distraction.
But do you see the connection with the palm tree and your arm?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what they call the palm of your hand, the palm now? Yeah. So now, the people laying down the palm leaves, that they were saying, "My hand, the palm, my hand is at your service, Jesus." That's what they were saying by laying down palm trees and palm leaves, because your hand, your fingers is like the leaf. But they were laying it down, submitting it to do the work of Jesus. I'm still on your comment about making prostration.
Uh-huh.
Because now that same palm tree, when the big strong wind come along, what do it do? What could that tree do? That tree make prostration on it.
It makes prostration. Yes, sir.
Now the other tree.
Yes, sir.
The other tree is talking about that's gonna be all stiff and rigid. What do it say? "I shall not be moved. I will not bend." Huh? It breaks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but if you submit and bow down, when that wind passed by, that palm tree just turned right back up. And keep on giving fruit.
Yes, sir.
Keep on producing. So, yes, you're right. There should be a submission. We have to submit to what is right.
Sir.
Be obedient. And then we can survive.
Yes. Submit to,
well, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Submit to what Allah is revealing to us. Yes. Submit to Allah is revealing to us. Submit to it. Yes, sir. I told you this was a Ramadan session, brother. Man, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to go to my next caller here. I knew they had on another half hour because I learned, but most of the people call the last minute. I'm learning, so I had on another half hour this time. All right. This caller from 323. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, your question, and your comment?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam.
Yeah, my name is Brother Rashad. I'm from Los Angeles, California. You know, I'm responding to, the brother had mentioned that he was so thankful of the knowledge that he wanted to make a prostration, you know. And in Al-Islam, you know, if you want to be grateful, you know, it's called a shukr. And as a prostration, you could make of two rakas. And you could do that, you know, at any time, giving thanks to Allah for whatever blessing that he has brought to you, whether it's knowledge, like he was so grateful of experiencing the knowledge that he received from you. So, I mean, he could still do two rakas of gratitude, thanking Allah for blessing him this Ramadan to receive that knowledge. You know, he doesn't have to necessarily prostration. There are two rakas of gratitude that he could do. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Brother Rashad. Yeah, we appreciate that because we need
you're
to show our gratitude and show our thankfulness. Okay. Well, we pray everyone, Brother Rashad and everyone, have a blessed Ramadan. We're going to end it with Ramadan Mubarak and close out with our theme song. And inshallah, we'll be on next week. And don't forget our guest we had on earlier, email Youssef Ramadan from Queens, New York. He was speaking with us earlier about their fundraiser for the restoration of their masjid called Masjid Nur al-Din in Queens, New York. And they have a cash app, $ Masjid Nur, N-U-R. So you can go through Zelle and pay through your bank at Zelle and enter the phone number 917-416-4175. Again, the number is 917-416-4175 to pay through Zelle. And this Masjid Nur al-Din, I was happy to learn that it was named after a sister. This Masjid Nur al-Din in Queens, New York, it was named after a sister. And the same Masjid back in the Nation of Islam days was one founded by our brother Malcolm X, El Haj Malik al-Shabazz. So we want to help them to get going again, inshallah. So that's all we have for this week. And may Allah bless us with understanding, His guidance, His mercy, and the benefits of Ramadan. And we will close out with our theme song, Words Made People. Assalamu alaikum.
The world go round.
own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on. Give advice, make sure your words hold true, 'cause people hold you to your words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are, 'cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, word can buy from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind. If your words are good, then good you'll be, 'cause those kind of words that set you free. When thinking starts, words come back from ideas deep in your mind. You need words to make people and people to make the world go round. Words that make people. Thank you, WD, for setting me free. Thank you, WD, for setting me free.